Without difficulty. We can assume that they had trials that week. They might have had some suffering that week. They might be in the midst of a trial, but they can set that all aside at that moment as they focus upon that one thing. As they focus upon that one thing, their hearts rejoice in that. You know, today as we gather together tonight in church, I am sure that your life isn't without burdens. I'm sure that it's not without trials or without difficulties. But as we come to focus upon the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our God, truly tonight our hearts can get excited as we think about this precious person who is our God. And so the, you know, a lot of times I'll have a proposition in my message. You may not catch that. You probably do. When I make that declarative statement about this is what the message is about, that proposition is found in chapter 33 of Psalms, verse 1, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous." Okay, that's what we're going to think about tonight, consider tonight, that command from God. And notice it is commanded, "Rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous." And there's two reasons given in the first couple verses about why we ought to obey this command. First of all, it looks good to God. As God sees it, God says that looks appropriate. It says, "For praise is comely for the upright." We don't use the word comely, but it just means it looks good. It's suitable. It's appropriate to that situation. You know, you expect a bride and groom to rejoice when they get married. You think something may not quite be right if they're not a little bit excited, you know, and praising and rejoicing in that day. You know, expect a fisherman to be happy when he catches his limit. It's comely. It's appropriate. It looks good on a fisherman to get excited about catching something. You expect that. You expect a woman to be happy if she bought maybe a new dress or a new outfit. You expect her husband to be happy if she got a good deal. You know, I mean, there's things that are appropriate. You look at and say, that's comely in that type of a situation. So what's the Bible saying? It's saying that it's appropriate when somebody is righteous that they praise God. Why? Because without what we looked at in our Lord's table observance, without that work of Christ, we couldn't be righteous. Without the shed blood of Jesus, without the sacrifice of the Son of God coming and giving his life for us, we would not be righteous. But praise God, tonight we can rejoice. Why? Because it's appropriate to the fact that we are righteous. It's comely. It looks good on us. And then secondly, rejoice because it sounds good to God. It sounds good to God. Again, rejoicing is not just in our hearts, but it comes out of our mouth. Again, imagine that you're at that football stadium and the winning goal has just been kicked into that net. And the home team, the fans erupt by sitting still with a blank stare and looking, you know, straight ahead. And you say, they're excited in their hearts. And you go, forget that. They're not excited in their hearts. Not unless they're stomping their feet, not unless they're clapping their hands, not unless they're shouting out something. And I'd say this to us tonight. We can say, well, you know, I really am excited about God. I really am excited about the things of God. But if it doesn't make it out of our mouth, if it doesn't show up on our face, then probably it's not as genuine as we like to think it is. But you know what? Again, if it's praise, if it's rejoicing, then it gets out there with some noise. We see that again in these verses. Look what it says. It speaks about God loving instrumental praise. It says in verse 2, "Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings." Okay, we've got instruments normally. We don't tonight because Kaylee and Benson are away, but normally we've got instruments. We have a piano and we'll have violin and we have a brass instrument. We use those for God. Why? Because the Bible speaks about it. God gave us instruments. Why? To glorify his name, to praise him, to worship him with instruments. So God loves that. And then God loves vocal praise. Verse 3, it says, "Sing unto him a new song." You know what the new song is? "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." Right? It's the fact that before I got saved, I was not saved. But now, by the grace of God, God has given me everlasting life. There is a new song in my mouth, even praising to my God. "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You know, there's always going to be things like this that happen. And I knew that might happen tonight. But, you know, there's a song of praise that wasn't there before. An unbeliever can't sing that. But as a believer, He's put that new song into my mouth. And then God loves careful praise. It says play skillfully. Okay, we practice music for a reason. We don't just say, hey, you know, give it your best shot. We practice, we prepare. Why? Because we want to give something to God that's not just casual, not something that's easy, but something that's disciplined with our kids. We want to get back to youth choir. We had youth choir for years, but since COVID and change of schedule, we haven't had that. We want to get back to that. Why? We want to give God careful praise and make sure that we practice. And then God loves heartfelt praise. Notice what it says at the end of that verse. Play skillfully with a loud noise. God wants us to get it out there. If it's from our heart, I mean, it's gonna have that volume. It's gonna have that sound associated with it of true worship. Psalm 98, verses 4 through 6 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, and with the voice of a song, with trumpets, the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. And so tonight, we're looking at that idea. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Can you say from your heart, by the grace of God, I am rejoicing in God. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about the things of God. That ought to be our heart. And I pray tonight, as we look at reasons for that, that the Spirit of God encourage us in our rejoicing in God. Let's pray. Ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give. And Father, we've already sung tonight. And that's a blessing. And Father, we don't just sing at church because that's what you do at church. We sing because it's rejoicing. It's worship. It's praising God. And Father, we desire to do that tonight. Father, forgive us. We're independent Baptists. And as independent Baptists, maybe we're a little too quiet at times. We ought to be more vocal in our praise for God. So I pray, Spirit of God, remind us of the precious reasons tonight that we have to rejoice and get excited about the things of God because of who our God is. Would you bless this message to the hearts of those that hear it? Father, would you give me liberty as I preach, give us grace to be free from distractions, give us grace to attend upon the Word of God, and Lord, may you speak to each heart. We pray that. Lord, that's the greatest need tonight. Is the Spirit of God walking the aisles of this church, Father, speaking to the hearts of God's people, encouraging us in our walk with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so 5 points tonight. Just to give you an idea where we're going. But the first one is rejoice because of God's righteousness. And really, we're going to look at the psalm tonight. And because I've said that, you understand it's not a small psalm. We're just going to highlight things as we go through. But rejoice because of God's righteousness. You know, if God wasn't righteous, this world would fall apart. If God wasn't righteous, then everything about the future, there'd be nothing to look forward to, because it would just be like the God of this world, Satan, being in control for all of eternity. All the ungodliness would be here, all the death, sorrow, sickness, heartache. But praise God, tonight God is righteous. And because of that, everything is held securely together by God. Psalm 97:6. Says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Psalm 98, verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. God is a righteous God. And so we consider, as we come to the psalm, the righteousness of his word. The righteousness of his word. It says in verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right. Praise God. Tonight, I can stand with authority upon this book and say, this book is right. This book is true. This book is through and through the very word of God. It is pure. It is perfect. It is right. As the Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Look at those words, sure, pure, perfect, right. I mean, those are precious words when it comes to this book. People say to me a lot of times, you know, well, that's good for you. I don't believe it, but that's good for you. Listen, if it's not true, it's not good. That's what Paul said. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in God, we are all men most miserable. Why? Because we're believing a lie. Right? I praise God tonight. We're not believing a lie. We've got the absolute truth of the Word of God. Why? Because God's Word is righteous. Consider the righteousness of His Word. Consider, secondly, the righteousness of His ways. It says, and all His works are done in truth. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't get it wrong. You know, I'm a little bit worried about the G7 summit that's taking place and those nations coming together. I have no confidence in, I pray for our prime minister. I pray for the president of the United States. I pray for these other world leaders as they get together. But you know what? They make a lot of mistakes. We've got hacking going on from Russia and affecting a lot of things around the world. We've got the conflict that rose up in Israel, the anti-Semitism that is coming to a head more and more in our day. There's a lot of reasons tonight that I look at it and I go, I don't trust men. But you know, praise God, I trust God tonight. Because God is not going to get it wrong. God is not going to err in any regard. Psalm 85, verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. God is righteous. God is marching down through the annals of time, and he's doing so perfectly. God is involved in men's lives, and God is involved perfectly. Why? Because God's ways are righteous. And I can rejoice in that tonight. I can rejoice in the righteousness of his word. But then consider the righteousness of his justice. It says in verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. You know, when it comes to justice, praise God, we have a righteous God. I was witnessing to a man yesterday, just speaking to him about the fact of God. He's had a rough situation in his life. And you know, I was able to say to him, I said, if evolution is true, there is no justice. But because the Bible is true, there is justice. There is a perfect God that is perfectly right in his judgment. Psalm 50, verse 6 says, the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Psalm 96, 13, for the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. Praise God. God's going to get it right. That was the argument of Abraham, even as he pled for the righteous people in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, specifically for his nephew Lot, as he pleaded with God. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He said, God is a righteous judge. That be it far from you to judge the righteous with the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Praise God tonight, as we stop and think about it, there's a righteous God. Therefore, judgment that's going to take place is going to take place perfectly. You know, again, tonight, we ought to rejoice in God's righteousness. The righteousness of his word, the righteousness of his ways, and the righteousness of his justice. But then secondly tonight, rejoice because of God's creativity. Okay, rejoice because of God's creativity. On the Royal Mile right now, there is a Lego phone booth, I guess somewhere, where there's three phone booths together. There's a fourth one. That's there right now. It's made out of Legos. And it's there because at the St. James Center, or it's called something else now, St. James something else, there is a new Legoland that is being put into that property. Okay, and it's kind of a cool place. They have a Legoland at the Mall of America. Back when I was in high school, they built the Mall of America about 35 minutes from my house. And that was our mall that we go to growing up. It's got Camp Snoopy in the center of it, that theme park, and roller coasters and things going on. And part of that Camp Snoopy was a Legoland. And you saw those incredible Lego creations. I think there was a Lego globe, you know, massive thing, and Lego jets, and Lego dinosaurs. And you expect a child, as they look at the creativity of the creators with those Lego bricks, you expect that child to be in awe. A little bit. That's amazing, right? Look at that. They're making things this big, and they're looking at stuff this big. And something's wrong if a child walks into Legoland, sees something like that, and isn't a little bit inspired by that. You just think maybe their observational skills are not quite up to par, because they ought to be amazed by it. Listen, as mankind looks at God's creation, there ought to be something that just says, wow. Look at what God has done. Something is missing if they can't see that. And so look and see God's goodness. It says again in our verse here, verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's full of it. And praise God. You know, you go out into the Scottish highlands, lowlands, moorlands. You see the glens, you see the burns, you see the rivers, you see the heather or the gorse. You go up, and you see the coast, and you got the cliffs, and you've got the sandy beaches and the pebbly beaches and the craggy beaches. And I mean, it's just a very awesome thing to look at the locks and to see the massive hills that are up over those locks. There ought to be something in our heart as we look at that and you say, you know what, this place is full of the goodness of God. It's full of it. The greatest thing about our holiday just a couple weeks back as we went up in the highlands is just coming around that corner, seeing that new view, and just saying, wow. Wow. Look at what God has done. God is incredible in God's goodness in his creation. We got to see it. Verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You walk outside at night, you see the stars, you see the galaxies, and you're looking untold distances away, and that is all just put up there by the hand of God as he spoke the world into existence. You know, evolution is so sad, isn't it? Just robbing God of his glory. Saying that an explosion made something that's incredibly detailed, incredibly accurate. Ken Ham, this was brought to my attention by Dr. Stedman in an email he sent to the missionaries with our board this past week. But he said, Ken Ham brought out the point that in our cancel culture society, you know, they're trying to cast down all these statues that have to do with anything they think had to do with slavery or racism. Ken Ham makes the point, why haven't they thrown down any Darwin statues? Evolution is the basis for racism. It says that people evolve differently, that they evolved at different speeds. Some people are more advanced than other people. It's what Hitler used as he sought to annihilate the Jews. But there's nobody casting that down. Why? Because that's the God, the religion of the ungodly. The last thing they're going to do is cast down their God. But you know, there's not many people tonight that are walking out here looking at God's creation and saying, God, I just want to give you glory. I just want to give you praise. It's amazing. Look at, I mean, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today honors, tomorrow's cast in the oven. You know, acknowledging what God has done. There ought to be in our hearts something like that tonight that we say, man, I'm going to rejoice in God for his creation, his goodness. And then we ought to look and see God's power. See God's power. The Bible here tells us that God maintains all natural resources. It says in verse 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. I don't fathom all that this verse is saying, but surface tension and how that works, you know, that God can kind of just put that water there and keep it there and make it go where he wants it to go and sets bounds about it. And then you've got the water cycle and that evaporation and that distribution and that those channels. You ever stop and think about the fact, and I thought about this as we traveled up north, that these rivers just continually flow down until they get to the sea. And they don't go, typically they don't go, you know, down, lock, down, lock, down, lock. Typically they just flow. Right? I mean, it's just God has worked that out. In Bilston, you know, we got that housing scheme that's going in, and it took years for them with their diggers to get in there and get it just right and get it graded and put in the sewer, and they had flooding that was there, and I mean, it wasn't going too well, and they're working their best at it, but God just did it all. God set everything in its place. He's the one that's watching over those natural resources. He's the one that is sustaining it. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Wow, that's amazing. This is a big place. And God just said, let it be, and it was. And God took care of it. God anchors it with his word. We watched this past week on the telly, we were watching a documentary on a digger company in China. And it was quite impressive, the diggers that they're making this plant. And they would finish one on this assembly line every 10 minutes. They're putting out a digger that was just incredible, with incredible power. And that digger goes out and goes to that place where they need to put something in. It begins to work. But God just goes, hey, let it be. Right? Man has to work so hard in it. But our Lord just said, let it be. And it was. He said, let it stand. And it stands. You know, tonight, you don't have to join. If you want to be the Green Party, that's okay. But you don't have to join the Green Party and panic like, you know, the world's over. It's all going downhill. You know, we got to save the planet. You don't have to join Extinction Rebellion and think somehow we got to stop man from wrecking evolution because evolution's gone bad. And all of a sudden, man, the highest pinnacle of evolution, has wrecked it all. No. No, God's still in control. God's still the one that has said it, and it is, and it will be. You know, praise God tonight. We can rejoice at the righteousness of our God. We can rejoice tonight at our God's creativity, his goodness, his creation, and his power. And then thirdly tonight, rejoice because of God's authority. Rejoice because of God's authority. You know, as a church, we've been praying about the property, the Bank of Scotland building. And I shared this past week an email that I've shared with our church at different times as we've been praying about that, this building. That is this. God has worked in my heart as I prayed about it, specifically with regard to his authority. In other words, if God's in it and God says it, it is because God has that authority. And I shared the scripture that we've looked at with regard to that. God gives it to whomsoever he will. That is what he does, because he is in control and he's sovereign over all. And so tonight, as we think about rejoicing in God, we can thank God that the world can't have their way. You probably noticed that our world is more and more against God, more and more vocal in their casting off of his restraints. It's really what Psalm 2 speaks about when it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And so even the G7, you know, these nations coming together, and they're like, we've got this, we've got this, and there is no God. And we stand together and say there is no God. And really, that's really close to where we get it in society. Despite that, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall I speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And by the way, if you think, no, we're not that godless yet, just consider this. The pandemic happened. Who prayed? We read in our devotions, if you're reading with the church, we read about the dedication of the temple. And Solomon said, when the pestilence comes and we get on our knees before God, then spare us. But we're in our society, we're those people, those leaders that said, hey, time to pray. We understand tonight that they are seeking to cast off the God. But you know, praise God. Again, the world can't have their way because God is not bothered by what they say. Verse 10, it says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. It's nothing. We're bothered by it. We don't like that legislation, anti-smacking legislation that's contrary to the Word of God. Hate crime legislation that's contrary to the Word of God. We don't like some of the things that are coming about in our society, the things that our society is saying against God, but God just brings it to naught. God just nullifies it. God just makes it ineffective. You remember the king of Syria that plotted against the king of Israel, and he thought, you know, let's go there and we'll take the king of Israel in that place. But there was a prophet of God that knew about it. And so the king of Syria warred against Israel, took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that's in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. It's an awesome story. I mean, the king of Syria is like, What's going on? Who's telling my secrets? And they say, Nobody. It's that prophet of God knows what you're saying, and God is overruling. You know, again, our world is like, we can plan it, we can say it, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because we can rejoice because God's got it. God's over it all. You know, modern Israel right now is a testimony to the fact that God will have his way. Now, they're not God. But that's the nation that God said is going to be back in the land. It testifies to the fact that people can say whatever they want, anti-Israel, but it doesn't matter. Because God is putting there. God's not bothered by what they say. And then secondly, God's not bothered by what they do. It says, He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. They make it of none effect. You know, let me tell you, don't worry about the Antichrist. Don't worry about one world government. Why? Because God's over all that. Right? I mean, we look at that and think, oh, that's bad. No, I mean, it's not bad because it's part of God's plan. It's part of the Bible. It's part of what the Word of God says is going to take place. But the thing is this, they can join together as much as they want. They can join politically. They can join religiously. They can join economically. They can say, we're going to stand against God, but we understand tonight, it doesn't matter. Why? Because He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. And so thank God tonight because of God's authority. They can't have their way, but secondly, God will have His way. God will have His way. Look at what it says in verse 11. What He says will be what He desires will be. It says, The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. God's got it. It's timeless. I like security like that. I mentioned this morning to our church that I got a letter in the post saying that, you know, the FTC, I forget the letters for it, for the banking, FSCS limit for covering your bank deposits is 85,000 pounds. Well, because of the buying of the church, we've got much more than that that's in our account. I look at that and I go, that's kind of scary to me. That if something defaults, they're not going to cover us except for that amount. I like guarantees. I like security. You know, tonight, as we come again to the Word of God, we've got guarantees, we've got security. And that is this. God has said it. God desires it. Therefore, it will be. We ought to just rejoice tonight in the sovereignty of God, in the authority of God. And so we do that. We rejoice in His righteousness. We rejoice in His creativity. We rejoice in His authority. But then fourth tonight, we rejoice because of God's oversight. Because of God's oversight. You know, if God was distant, we're in danger. But God is present. If God was just, you know, in one of those distant galaxies, and He had to come to see what was happening, we praise God tonight that's not the case, but that God is very near to us. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so God is present. God is watching over us tonight. And I remind us tonight as we look at the Word of God that we are precious to God as His child. It says in verse 12, Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I just realized tonight the clock is behind me. That's a bad thing. All right. Normally the clock's down there. It's bad in two ways. I got to look over my shoulder, and you don't have to look past me. You can just see it right there. That's not maybe as I would like it. But anyway, we are a precious child of God tonight. It's awesome to think, you know, God is thinking about us tonight. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Okay, in the Old Testament, Israel were the people of God. New Testament, it's the church. And so as a child of God, you ought to look back at the Old Testament and say, well, how did God take care of his people? Well, he fought for them. He defended them. He provided for them. He guided them. Yeah, happy are the people that God is the Lord. Right? I mean, that's a blessed thing to think tonight. I've got God, and God cares about me, and I'm precious to God. We went to a church in Georgia back when we were in Bible college, and they would often sing at that church that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You know, the person that is out there on the, you know, away from God, they don't have this care tonight. But praise God again. We ought to rejoice. Say, you know what? Tonight, I'm a child of God's. And because of that, you're under the watch care of God. You're under his care. In fact, the Bible says you're being observed right now. Verse 13 says, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Right? God's there. He's watching. Back when I was in junior high or kind of early preteens in school, when the teacher would leave the room, you'd expect bad things to happen. You know, the cat's away, the mice will play, right? And so you're expecting bad things to happen. You know what? But you kind of felt like, too, the teacher has eyes in the back of their head. Somehow they know, you know? And you don't really understand how that works for the teacher, but you understand tonight how that works with God. And because of that, nobody's going to get away with something. And as an obedient child, I can rejoice because God's watching. He's going to take care of me, even though the bad things might be taking place. God is observing me right now. You're observed, secondly, by one in a position of great authority. It says in verse 14, from the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. You know, as God is looking, where is God? Now we understand we've got Christ in our hearts. Praise God, he's always with us. But it's speaking about the position of his authority. And he's observing from where? Heaven. What's heaven? His throne. I mean, that's the position where he's got absolute authority over everything. You know, the disciples, as they're in that boat with Jesus, they're panicking because they see the waves. They need to be reminded that there's a God on the throne that has authority over those waves. And tonight, as we look, and we've just briefly mentioned it, but wicked governments, wicked agenda, ungodly world, grievous, you know, the waves are crashing about us. We need to be reminded tonight that there's a God that is authoritatively over there. That he is, again, in that position of absolute authority, observing what is taking place. And then third, you're observed by one who knows your heart. He knows your heart. It says in verse 15, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. It's kind of like this. He made an Abby, and he watches Abby grow up. He made a Mac, and he watches Mac grow up, and he considers all their works and how things are going and how things are happening in their life. He's observing us like that. Those diggers that were made in China, one of the kind of almost scary things about the technology that they had is they have technology that goes back to a command center, and millions of these vehicles are out working around the globe. But as they're working in real time, if there's an oil pressure problem on that vehicle, it sends it back to the command center. And the command center is able to get on the phone, call the people, and tell them they've got a problem with their digger before they even realize they've got a problem with their digger because they're connected to them. Now, that's a scary technology because you think they could hit the off button and they'll stop as well or something like that. But, you know, God is watching, isn't he? What problem tonight do you have that God doesn't know about? Whether physical, emotional, financial, mental. I think we ought to rejoice tonight and say, hey, praise God. God is observing tonight. I rejoice in that oversight as as we rejoice in his authority, his creativity, his righteousness. And then tonight, as we come to this fifth point, our final point, we rejoice because of God's protection. God's protection. So God is not just present, God is not just observing, but God is standing there ready by his grace and his mercy to intervene and to help us. And so we find tonight that we will be delivered by his strength, by his strength. It says in verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Now, back in the day, a horse was like a stealth fighter, all right? Or it was like an army tank. It was like a carrier. I mean, it was the fighting machine. But that wasn't the victory. And the victory wasn't good strategy. And the victory wasn't, you know, being the stronger army. What was the victory? The victory was what David had when he fought Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, praise God tonight. We don't have to say, well, you know, I got this because I'm really this. No. You know, we're talking about praying this next week, right? I've got this. Why? Because my God is great. Because my God is powerful. Because my God is going to fight for me as I fight for him. Praise God. It's his strength. You'll be delivered, secondly, by his mercy. By his mercy. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Do you know there's a special protection for God's people? Now, we might go through trials, we might suffer some, but I mean, there's plenty of stories in the Bible where God spared somebody as a righteous person. He didn't spare everybody. You've got Elijah, the ravens feeding Elijah. You've got the widow woman feeding and providing for Elijah, and God sparing him and the widow woman and her son because of God's special care in a time of famine. You know, if you're hoping in the mercy of God, you're living in the fear of the Lord, that means you're living a righteous life, an obedient life. You can just have confidence. You know, God's got this. God's going to take care of this. God is going to help me. Why? Because God is a God of mercy. Listen, again, we ought to rejoice. We ought to say, praise God. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be disheartened. I don't have to be cast down. Why? Because God has got this. You'll be delivered by his help. It says in verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. Do you like places of safety? I'll just tell you a secret. Human nature likes places of safety. It's called self-preservation, right? We don't want to be exposed to danger. I mean, if I said COVID's on that side of the room, you'd come to this side, right? I mean, we want to be somewhere that is safe. You know, the Bible just told us that God is our shield. That's our safety. He's the one that's got us. He's the one that is all around us, protecting us. He is our help. He's the one that's going to reach down. He's going to make it okay. He's going to meet the need. Praise God. We have to rejoice tonight. Praise God. God is my help. And then, one last thing about God's protection is that you will be delivered by his faithfulness. By his faithfulness. It says in verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Okay, when it talks about we're trusting in thee, we're depending upon thee, what's it speaking about? It's speaking about the faithfulness of God. It's speaking about the fact that he's worthy of trust, that he's going to respond to trust because he is absolutely ready to meet our need. And whether we know it or not tonight, God is watching over us. God's protecting us. I'm reminded of the story of Darlene Dynbo Rose. She was a missionary to Papua New Guinea back when Japan was invading in World War, what was that, one, taking place. And there in those islands, they were put into a prisoner of war camp. And in that place, when the Allies came and bombed, they would have to run into trenches, and they'd have to hide from the bombs that were falling about the camp and on the camp. And there was a time where she jumped into that trench, and in that trench, the Lord reminded her about a Bible that she had borrowed from a woman, and that Bible was in the barracks, and if the barracks burned and she thought they were on fire, then that Bible would be lost. She ran in there in the midst of everything, grabbed that Bible, and then went to another place and hid. Afterwards, she was coming back, and she saw a woman, and the woman was weeping, and she was crying because her mattress had been bombed. And she said to her, "It's okay, we'll get another mattress." And she said to Darlene, "No, no, no, you don't get it. I threw that mattress where you always stay, in the trench. The bomb hit where she would have been if she hadn't gone back to get the Bible that the Spirit of God reminded her about." You know, there's going to be times in our life we might see it like that. We might understand it like that. You know what? God protected me, but whether we understand it or not, whether we see it or not, we've got a God that is actively helping us. He's watching over us. I'm just saying tonight, we ought to stop and say, praise God. Praise God. And rejoice in God because he is the one that is helping us. If you were to go to a football match and stand in that place, again tonight, we understand rejoicing is vocal. It gets out there, doesn't it? And I just want to remind us tonight that if we're not praising God, if we're not making a noise, then the truth is tonight we're not rejoicing in God. Now there's some people that can't rejoice in God tonight because they're not righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, you're righteous. They don't know God. They're distant from God. They can't praise God because they don't see God. But you know what? Praise God, if I'm saved tonight, all these things that we've considered this evening, God's righteousness, his creativity, his authority, his oversight, his protection. We ought to look at that and say, "Look, God did that." And we ought to stop right then and say, "You know what, God, I just like to say thank you. I just like to praise your name." You know, on Thursdays and Sundays, on Zoom especially, but sometimes in church, we say, "Hey, anybody want to share a testimony?" There ought to be things that come to our mind and say, "I just want to praise God tonight. I want to just rejoice in God tonight. Because rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." It's appropriate. Why? Because of everything that we just looked at in the Word of God tonight. So let's pray. Ask the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. If in your heart the Spirit of God is saying, you know what? You might think that you're rejoicing, but in reality, when's the last time you made some noise? You know, is it vocal? Is it from your heart? You getting it out there? Then let's just confess that to God. Say, "God, by your grace, we see tonight in the Word of God, there's a lot of reasons to rejoice. God, help us. Help us to do that." Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God give us grace to rejoice. Father, we're not of all men most miserable. We are of all men most blessed, most happy. And Father, I pray that we'd understand, you know what? If it's not vocal, something's not right. We ought to praise God. It ought to pop up in our hearts and minds and out our mouth and say, "Hey, you know, I just want to say God is good. God is good." Father, whether others hear it or you alone hear it, it ought to be something that is daily a part of our life. And I pray, remind us of it this week. Lord, as we go about this week, may the Spirit of God just remind us, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." God, help us to do it. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Look, we've got a hymn to sing here at the end, a hymn of invitation. If the Spirit of God ever speaks to your heart in our services, you're welcome to come up to the front and pray if you like, and pray there at your chair. But do deal with it if the Spirit of God puts something specific in your heart. Let's stand and sing. What is it?